you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Hello. Good day. HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. Yeah, it's me. It's Will. You remember me? Of course you do. Will Koontz, host of this here program, the Homemade Broadcast. Welcome to 2016. Are you well? I certainly hope so. I am fine. I'm a little rusty. I took a month off. I enjoyed the holidays. I spent Christmas sick in bed. It was the best Christmas I ever had. I watched Bad Santa twice and slept. It was terrific. I was all in the spirit, too. It was kind of a bummer for Christmas time. And I got sick. And I don't know why I was excited to begin with, frankly, because it's not like I'm a product of divorce. It's not like I'm going to go to the mountains with my family and, you know, we're all going to open presents and drink, you know, eggnog and whiskey. But I was looking forward to it for some unknown reason, and I spent it sick in bed. But that was fine with me. Like I said, I enjoyed it. Went and had dinner at my mom's house, grilled up some steaks on a Bobo grill I got from Walgreens. It was terrible, but it turned out okay. I felt bad because I just had to eat and run. But, yay, you know, I'm here. Had New Year's. My New Year's resolution is to not booze so much, which so far is going terribly. I've been boozing pretty much since Christmas every day. No, not every day. I'm kidding. But a lot. I had, of course, there was New Year's. And just taking time off, you know, from work, and there's not much to do. So boozing is one thing you can do. And I've been doing a lot of that. But it ended Sunday because Brian Abernathy's wedding was Sunday. I was the best man at his ceremony. I had to stand there awkwardly and make sure I didn't lose these rings, which I succeeded in. And I gave a half-drunken speech, which I was super nervous about because I knew maybe I was a little bit too intoxicated to give this speech, but also knew that I had to at this point. It didn't help that Brian's dad gave me bourbon as soon as I walked into the ceremony. And that was at 2:30. I don't think I gave the speech until about 8. So you can imagine where I was at that point. But his wife only yelled at me about one thing. And she didn't yell at me. She knew there was going to be something that she was not going to like. And she was a good sport about it. So thank you, Sarah, for that. But I think it was good. I got a lot of, hey, nice jobs. So unless they were completely lying to me, which is possible, I suppose, I hope not. So, Brian, I hope I didn't embarrass you, and I love you very much. I'm glad your wedding's over now so we can get back into the swing of things, as it were. Only news I really have over the break, which is kind of pathetic, but it's big news. It's pretty exciting, is I am going to be your host for Keep St. Petersburg Locals Localtopia, happening on February 6th this year. Two stages. They're blocking off a whole road for this thing. There's going to be a bunch of everything local that's great about St. Petersburg. I'm really excited to be the MC for that event. So check out Keep St. Pete Locals Facebook page. I think it's facebook.com/KeepSt.Pete Local. Pretty sure that's all it is. Or it might be Keep St. Petersburg Local. You'll find it, I'm sure, and I will link it if not. And there's an event created that has all the information on it, too, on facebook.com/HMB Radio. Don't forget to check out the other shows that are going on HMB Radio. You got the Dallas Cowboys. You have James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast, which are heard exclusively on HMB Radio or iTunes and Stitcher. So make sure you subscribe. Just search for hashtag HMB Radio, and you'll be able to find it. We replay now, too, on Radio St. Pete, Mondays 10:15 p.m. So if you miss it at our regular time slot, Sunday 6:15, you can always catch it on there. And, of course, on the Radio St. Pete archive on demand. So there's lots of ways to do it. So this week, we're starting off the year. Oh, wait, let me. Yes, we're going to start off the year with a big guest, one I've been wanting to talk to for a while. Eugenie Bourdonnat. Sorry, Eugenie. I'm messing up your name. I'm an idiot. But she played Tigress in the Hunger Games movie that just came out a little while ago. It is still in theaters, and we got to talk to Eugenie, which was pretty exciting. But before we get to that interview, let's do the sponsorships. We're renewing with everybody that we had, R2 that we had, which is Sly Bar. 2061 Central Avenue, slybar.com. I don't know how they managed to get slybar.com. I think that there's probably many other Sly Bars out there. Joe is a computer genius, though, so I'm sure he figured out some way to hack systems or something. I don't know. So check them out. And Angelo's, some of the best pizza in the city, if you ask me. They provide the pizza for the open mics, which are still happening every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. Check out hmbradio.com for event info and subscribe to the events on Facebook, facebook.com/hmbradio. Click the subscribe button. You'll get up to date with all the comedy events that we put on here in St. Pete. But for now, let's talk to Eugenie and her big role as Tigress in the Hunger Games.
I'm doing great, as long as I can get my mic really close to my mouth.
Okay,
here we go again.
This is a very rig-em-up, set-em-up thing, and I got these directly from China. So they were very cheap, and they serve their purpose, but they're not professional-grade ones yet.
Hey, you know what? The arm moves. It all works. It's a great setup. I think you've got here.
Thank you.
It's really looking good.
For an amateur rig, I think it's pretty cool. I feel like I was in a professional studio. So, and I bought new headphones. I got a new mic right there. That one's brand new.
Ooh.
First time being used.
Ooh, that means I can get all my germs on the mic.
That's right.
Really great.
That's right. We'll just burn that foam thing. We'll be good.
All right. Nothing like having, you know, maybe bringing in a cold. Or
I don't know about you, but I get sick every winter. I'm sick the entire time. I feel like I'm still sick now. I don't know if you could tell. I'm a little nasally.
A little nasally, right.
I've been coughing for about 2 months. And it's not going to stop for another 2 months.
It makes it
a little more seductive.
Sexy voice.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Eugenie, of course, you had a big year this year. The big thing was
Hunger Games Part 2, Mockingjay.
Unite
for the Mockingjay.
That's right. And you played the character Tigress.
Yes.
That is
baby.
So that was, I know you told the story a million times, but I'm sure there's some people who haven't heard it. So tell me the story about how you went from teaching theater. Is that what you were doing here?
Yes, I teach acting.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you get a call, hey, you're going to be Tigress in this huge blockbuster film.
Yeah, there are a few blanks in between, but let me just say, what an experience to actually get that phone call. Yeah, well, they chose you. Well, basically, my husband, and at which point, when this came up, my agent, I have a local agent here, so my agent called me and said, you have to put yourself on tape for this, because that's what you do. You do it, you know, first tape is, you know.
It's probably a lot of Skype now, right?
Well, Skype is usually for callbacks.
Right.
You know, I didn't do a Skype callback. I went in person. But she basically twisted my arm and forced me to put myself on camera. And at that time, it didn't say on the sides or pages from a script, it didn't say, oh, you're going to be auditioning for this crazy character in the next Mockingjay. It wasn't that, you know, in the next Hunger Games, you know. It didn't say that. It had a completely different name, and they were going under incognito and blah, blah, blah. But I auditioned. My agent had to... So I put myself on tape. It was submitted by my agent. My agent, within 5 minutes of it being submitted, got a phone call. She's got a call back.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Now, the crazy thing is, we were going out of town. My family and I were going out of town for a two-week vacation. And, of course, the callback was in Georgia in the middle of our two-week vacation up in the Adirondacks. And blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I made it, and I did it. And I flew down, and I...
So did you do it in person? Like,
I did.
Right away? Yeah?
I did. The first question was, well, would they do Skype interview? And there was this silence on the phone. You can imagine, like, don't you even think that it's going to be a Skype interview?
Yeah, but you did. So, I mean, how would you know? You know, I mean, if it's going to save you some time on a plane ride or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and also we were going, part of our trip, we were going to Canada, and I thought, oh, so if I use the phone and make the reservations, then it's going to, I'm going to get this international charger. So I don't know. But it was honestly the best callback I've ever had. It was absolutely terrific, and if delicious could be a word to put as that callback, make that callback, that's what it would be. That's what it was.
So where did really you go? Wonderful. You had to leave from your vacation in Georgia and then fly out to L.A.?
No. I had to leave from our vacation in the Finger Lake region of New York and fly to Georgia.
Oh, okay.
They did the callbacks in Georgia. And that, in fact, that's where they filmed. Everything was in Georgia.
I heard Atlanta is like a hub now.
Ooh, yeah.
For film.
It is hot, hot, hot. It is, they have a tremendous amount of tax credits, Georgia does. And they really have their game on. I mean, they lots of films are coming there. A lot of TV shows are being cast outside of, you know, in Georgia. So, because they get a great monetary benefit. And now they've got great talent that are, in that area.
Yeah, and I mean, now it's even, you don't even have to be out in L.A. I had, do you know who Owen Haran is?
Yeah, what is that name?
Owen was in The Walking Dead, and he was in that movie Max.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did, it was in the Badlands recently on AMC. So I was talking to him, I was like, so you're going to move to L.A. now? Or he's like, no, I don't think so. He doesn't want to do that. He says, you know, I can catch a flight to Atlanta for $90.
Yep.
And go do whatever I need to do. And I guess, like, everything's shooting out of there. So they shot the whole movie in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. Mockingjay. Most of it was shot in Atlanta. And then they did other scenes up in Berlin and Paris. I think maybe even in London. I'm not sure. But this past one. So they filmed concurrently Mockingjay 1 and part 1 and part 2.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So... I obviously was in part two, so, but part one and part two, it was filmed, I'd say 75%, 65%, something like that, in Georgia. And I was actually booked to go for a week in Paris, you know, where they were filming right outside of Paris. And then they said, no, we've got all your coverage.
You sure?
No!
I don't mind. I could go for a few days.
I'll do that. I will sit there with the makeup and everything. I will do that. Do that.
Six hours in for that makeup?
Yes.
How many times for 6 hours did you have to do that?
Okay, so we filmed, technically I was filming only 3 days. However, I had makeup tests, which means full makeup, 6 hours. I had screen tests, full makeup, 6 hours. I had lighting tests. I had wardrobe tests. I had, so basically if you smash everything together, I worked about 3 weeks. But on camera, doing the scenes with everyone, it was 3 days, something like that. And then there were special effects that I did, and CGI that I did. And blah,
you know
blah.
How stupid I am? I thought that they could just CGI that makeup on you.
Yeah, right.
And there
right?
would be just no problem.
I don't think that's a stupid question.
I think it's going to get there, right?
I think technology will eventually get there.
I wonder how the makeup people feel about that. I'm sure there's purists out there who, will still use the makeup. But
oh, we're going to use makeup. Well, really cool. There are two really cool people that were involved with that makeup process. V. Neal and Glenn Hetrick. Now, they have a show by the name of Face Off, which is super cool. It's a makeup show, special effects makeup show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Such talented people. Talented people. I mean, you walk into Glenn's... So I had my first meeting with Glenn and out in L.A. So they flew me out to L.A. I'm sitting down. I had to have a head mold. So I had a head cast made. I don't know if you've ever had a head cast made. Have you ever
been with that? I can imagine the process, and it sounds terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they just cover your face in plaster, and then they stick straws in your nose, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally, totally. And it's four layers, so they put the first layer on. And everything's slicked back. Your hair is in some sort of sleeve thing. And everything is clean, clean, clean. You can't have any moisturizer or anything on. And they put the first layer on. And that's thin, so you don't think anything of it. You're like, yeah, okay, this is like a mask. Yeah, it's no big deal. Then they put the second layer on, and they're talking to you the entire time. There are about four people that are working on you. Oh, this is not so bad. It's pretty thin, so it's thin. Then they put the third layer on. Then it's getting a little thicker, and you're thinking, well, you know, all right. And you can't see anything. You can't hear anything. You can't open your mouth. You can only breathe out of your nose.
How do they communicate with you if you can't hear?
You can nod your head. I would hold my hand up and pretend like I was writing, which meant that...
get me a pad of paper.
Yeah, get me a pad of paper. Yeah. So, and I made a deal with them because this was not my first time doing this. I mean, I'm not new to that parade. So I said, you have to be in the same room. So when you put the plaster, which is the last covering, last layer, when you put the plaster on... make sure that you stay in the room and then you talk and you crack jokes and you do all these things, da, 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 so that I know that you're there. You're not leaving and I'm not wandering around, you know. And you're not standing, you're sitting, but still.
Yeah.
And it gets heavy and then it gets hot.
Yeah. So, hours of this too, right?
Well, I think the total process probably took about an hour, or more.
For it to be applied and dry, an hour?
Well, actually.
That's not too bad.
Maybe
I imagine
a couple of hours,
like,
something like that. Yeah, because... it takes about 40 minutes, maybe, 45 minutes, and it's really goofy. I have it on my phone. I should show you what it looks like.
Yeah, I'd
like to
see
it. There's a picture of me, you know, in the plaster, and I made him draw a little face on the plaster, kind of like, you know, when you break your arm and you have everybody sign your cast.
Right.
I said, sign my plaster head.
So they make that to, in turn, make a silicone or something mold, and then they start doing the makeup so they can practice. Is that what the deal is?
They can form the makeup. So... when they make the prosthetics, what they want to do is mold it to your actual skin so that, I mean, and the shape of your face. Mm-hmm. So it fits correctly. So when they make the mold of your face, they can make as many molds as they want once they have that one mold. So you should see it. I mean, usually, and this, like I said before, this is not the first time it's happened to me. First time I was doing a film, and they did a head mold, and they actually did a body mold, which is from your neck down, which was kind of freaky weird. And so, but you go around, I mean, just like with Glenn, I mean, you walk around and you see people's heads everywhere, you know, and there are these concrete, you know, head things.
Yeah, right.
Bust, it's kind of interesting. Yeah. You can see what you look like in a different perspective.
So what was, I don't know if you're aware, but there was an exhibition here at the Corian Contemporary Art Gallery with this artist from L.A., Exvala, and I had him on, and he got a lot of flack because he was going to post the Jennifer Lawrence nudes that were going around, and I was curious if she had mentioned anything just around about that. She might not have even known about it. I have a feeling she didn't even know about it. I'm sure she has people to handle these things.
Right.
But they got a letter from an attorney like, we're going to sue you. Don't do it. So what the guy ended up doing was he made nudes of himself and posted them up there, printed them on canvas. And it was pretty interesting. But
I know that was not something that was discussed by or something that I heard.
I'm a little disappointed.
I wish I could, you know, spice things up here, but she sat next to me. She, of course, did not tell me her deepest inner thoughts that
sure.
She actually wanted those nudes, you know, printed. Them.
Yes.
But I couldn't really say.
Yeah. It was.
I have no idea.
No, I'm sure she didn't want them. I mean, that was kind of a terrible thing that happened to her. She kind of got hacked, I guess. Her cloud got hacked.
Oh, no.
This technology thing is getting a little out of hand.
It's a little crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. everything's on a cloud now. I don't really have anything, and I'm not really ashamed, even if I did. I don't care. I'm a pig. People know what I am. You know, I don't need to hide anything from anybody. But, I mean, this is, I wonder what it's going to be like when people have to, like, from my generation, run for president. They're going to have a nude out there, you know?
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think it was just going to be everybody's going to have one. So they're going to be like, yeah, so what? I got one too. Big deal.
Well, right.
Or find an Amish kid. I guess that would be the only way around it, really. But even they have cell phones now. They have reality shows. So it's, there's no way around it. Well, bummer.
And now they're musicals, based, you know.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah.
No, that's the Mormon, sorry.
Yeah, that's the Book of Mormon, yeah.
Maybe there will be one, an Amish.
I'm sure eventually. Somebody will be working on it. I have no doubt that a young man is sitting by candlelight writing his Amish musical.
There you go.
And he's going to rebel against his parents and move to New York and get on Broadway.
On Broadway, and he's going to do it himself, right?
He's going to do it all himself. He's going to be the sensation.
Right.
That's it. That is the opening interlude, yes. Bummer. I'm kind of bummed she didn't. I wanted to hear a story about how she cussed out Xbala, but went on a tirade, but I guess not. So she's a nice girl, huh? That Jennifer
She's actually
Lawrence?
A very cool, nice girl, yeah.
She seems that the internet loves her.
Well, I would say, I mean, she's beautiful, she's talented. What's really not to love, right?
True.
So she's incredibly talented and very generous in terms of her spirit. When she's, she was the first one to introduce herself to me while I was on the set. She came and sat right down. You know, the makeup trailer is where everybody hears everything about everything.
Because you're sitting there for so long, you just talk, yeah.
And people come in and out, and here I am sitting there for 6 hours, starting at, 4:30 a.m. So you see a lot in that makeup chair. So, and you hear a lot, even if your eyes are closed and they think you're not listening. Everybody listens! So, but she was very, very cool. She'd sit next to me, because that was her chair anyway.
Yeah.
And she introduced herself to me, and she was great. Yeah.
So are you, said you weren't auditioning at this time when you got this role. Has that changed now? How has this role kind of changed things for you?
That actually changed, yes. Now I have my own studio, my home studio, where I can put myself on tape and I know how to upload my auditions and blah, 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 blah. But before, you have to remember, when we first moved here, there was a little bit of an industry still here in Florida. Unfortunately, we don't have tax credits in the state of Florida, and our governor doesn't believe in them. So it really holds back a lot of work that we could potentially have coming into this market. In Tampa, the work would come out of, now I'm talking about union work, SAG work. The work would come into Orlando or Miami, which means that you're in your car, you're driving to Orlando. It could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, it could be 3 hours that you're driving to Orlando and then you're driving back. Okay, so that's a quarter of your day, your waking day, gone in the car for a 30-minute audition. And then I just didn't like that drive of 5.5 hours, 6 hours, dealing with traffic, stressing out, then getting in, going up to the casting director and thinking, what am I doing here? Oh, I'm auditioning. And it's not, that is not, I don't audition well under those circumstances.
Yeah.
Now in LA, it's a different story because you go in person. There's traffic, crazy traffic in LA, crazy, crazy, crazy. But you plan things because it's your city. Oh, I know it's going to take me if I go at this time, if I leave at 4 and I've got to be there at 5, well, it'll take me about the same time and I might be stressed out. So instead, I think I'll leave at 3 and I'll make 2 stops.
Right.
And eliminate the traffic.
Get
and
some
the
lunch.
Stress and blah, blah, blah. Get some lunch, grab a coffee, whatever. So there, it's that type of thing. It's an industry town. So I'm assuming the same thing with Georgia, what's happening with Atlanta. So
I feel like Tampa probably could have been that. And
I think it could.
There were some things that, like you said, the tax credit things. And I mean, what's the incentive to be here? My stepdad interviewed to be the film commissioner of Hillsborough County. It was between him and one other guy.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't get it. I thought he was a shoo-in because, he's been here for 30 years, And they went with a younger person I guess I get it, because he's an older guy now. But I thought for sure he was going to get that. I was all excited for him. And he had big plans, big ideas, and just didn't work out. So.
Well, it's a tough job. Both being a film commissioner, it's not a You're always smiling. You're always, you know, shaking hands. You're always pushing the community. And then you've got to figure out how are we going to bring them here and support production without tax credits. How are we going to con them into coming in? Not con them, but how do we convince them coming
in? Well, there was a
lot. I don't want to be Debbie Downer.
No, it's
like,
okay.
Ah, Debbie Downer!
Hey,
no!
Okay. It's real. You know, we got to tell people the truth. So there was problems even finding technical people because they shot that. What was the one with Cranston? They shot at Derby Lane. They had some.
Oh, yeah. Actually, some of my students were in that.
So yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I wanted to go out and try to be an extra for that, but I didn't feel like waiting in line.
And also the Peregrine, Miss Peregrine's home for. It's the Tim Burton movie they shot.
Right.
What, 3 weeks here?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yep.
To, Home for Peculiar Children, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Very, you know.
But they couldn't find, like, grips and stuff like that, which Orlando's right there. You got UCF there. I would imagine the film school, there's got to be people that, apparently not. I just don't get it because you got Disney. It's a huge studio.
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, you also have people down in Miami as well who could have come up.
Yeah.
But again, look at the drive. It's 4.5 hours, right. 5 hours. We don't have a train that you can. We have a train that you can hop on from Miami. It's not a bullet train, you know. But there should be great transportation here. I mean, you can. I should be able to hop on a train and go to Orlando. Boom. I should be able to hop on a train whenever I want and catch public transportation and go to Miami.
I think that's coming. I think because like this ferry. That's coming from downtown Tampa.
Yes,
downtown
I'm so St. excited Pete. About that.
Me too. I feel like
isn't
that's going
to
be a big thing with the Rays too. If you can
I
hop
do
on
too.
And go to Tampa. If I could go to a Lightning game, that'd be awesome.
Wow, and it's just, right there. Yeah.
Walk. I could literally walk to the pier and then hop on.
Yes.
And supposedly that's going to start in October, maybe. We'll see.
Oh, let's hope so.
Fingers crossed.
That would be really, really great.
And I think we're going to have to do the local thing first, like building little hubs.
Right.
And then you can branch out to Orlando and stuff like that. But we need to get this Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa triangle going first.
I do.
Make a great hub, a great, hub, and then you just go wherever you want.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so.
Great idea.
Eugenie,
okay, I'll sign on.
Eugenie, how do you say your last name?
Bondurant.
Bondurant. I had it right. I got it. She was the Tigress in the Hunger Games movie.
Arr.
She's here on the Homemade broadcast today. Thank you for coming, by the way. I appreciate it. The first one of the year. It's pretty awesome. I'm ready to get back in the swing of things.
Thank you. Do you want to hear about something coming up?
Absolutely.
Well, I have two things. Number one is our radio theater project.
See, yes.
Radio.
I wrote that down. I wanted to talk about that.
So we have the radio theater project that we do at the studio at 620 in St. Petersburg. Homegrown studio at 620. Homegrown radio theater project. When we do radio plays live in front of an audience, and we have Foley, and they're recorded and put up on SoundCloud.
So it's not actually on the radio, but it's like the old school way of doing it where everyone sits around the tables and you can kind of, do you give everyone headphones?
Everybody's got
something?
Headphones. That's why I know how to work a microphone.
Yeah.
You speak straight into the microphone.
That's
you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
Yep.
But anyway, it's really, really fun, and we have a great group of artistic people and people who are actors and they're performers and they're in the business, you know, somehow. So anyway, that's been going on for, I think we're in our seventh season. And my husband writes a show. It's called The Continuing Adventures of Noel Berlin, Cabaret Detective. And I'm his sidekick, Belle. And
this is for the radio?
It's for the radio.
Okay.
And it's a satire on St. Petersburg politics. It is the funniest thing. I might say so myself because the guy, he and Matt Cowley write it. Matt is the Foley, is our Foley guy. He's also an unbelievable writer. He's really, really terrific. He and his wife, Sheila. And we produce, the Radio Theater Project produces this show once a month. In fact, our show's on Monday. 7 o'clock.
I'm going to come check it out. How much is it to go?
I think it's $10.
Okay. It's reasonable for a show. How long does it last usually?
Hour and a half, something like that, with a little intermission in the middle. We've got, I think, four short plays that we're doing.
Nice.
Really fun.
So it changes really every time. Fun. There's always something new, right?
Something new. Occasionally, maybe twice a season. Sorry, our season runs from October to May, sometimes November to May, but it's October to May. And sometimes maybe like two or three times a season we'll do an old radio show that you might have heard in the 40s or mm-hmm. something like that. That's cool. It is a blast. It's a blast.
And that's once a month?
It's once a month at the studio.
Is it every like second Monday?
We're not that organized.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you got it. But it is always on a Monday night. So you can always go to the studio and look at their website.
Is there a website for that?
Yeah. It's the radio. So we're on Facebook under Radio Theater Project. And if you look on Studio at 620, I think it's Studio at 620.org. Anyway,
if you put
just
Studio
Google
at 620, it'll pop
or
up.
Or Studio 620, and it should pop up.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's really cool. And it has
there,
all the shows that we're going to be, that we're doing.
Very cool.
So that, and I'm going to be in an NCIS episode, NCIS New Orleans.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
When does that happen?
I just got a date. I believe it is, what is that Tuesday? Is it February 16th? I think that's a Tuesday. I need to look at my calendar, but it's airing on a Tuesday. So it's either the 15th or the 16th. But I think it's the 16th because I think the 16th is a Tuesday. Whatever that Tuesday is, it is the name of the show is called No Man's Land.
What character do you play?
I play Marie Lovatelli.
Okay. And is she victim one too?
I am not going to say.
Can't say? Okay.
Disclose anything about the plot.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah.
But
is it shot in New Orleans?
Cool. It is shot in New Orleans.
That's another hub too, right?
It is a hub. It is a hub, and it's really fun. And New Orleans is my hometown, so anytime I get a gig there, I'm jumping up and down, and I'm really excited because I get to go home and eat good food. And
oh yeah, they definitely have that there. That's for sure. What advice would you have for somebody wanting to get into acting?
Study. Take classes. Don't give up. What else? What do I tell my students? That's work on your craft, meaning take an improv class. It's so much fun. And one of the first things, if I knew someone who said, oh, I want to get into acting, that's the first thing I say is, before you take an acting class, take an improv class. Because, A, if you decide that you don't want to get into acting anymore, the improv class will help you tremendously in life and communicating.
Sure.
They you know, work on communication skills. They work on the whole premise of improv is yes and. And so whatever someone gives you, it's a gift, right? Or
right.
says,
right?
Right so
right.
It's a gift. It's kind of like being on the radio.
Yeah.
You know. And so yes, and then and you continue going. And it's a blast. And you get out of your comfort zone. You get out of your shell. And so that's what I tell them to do first.
So where do you teach at? Where, if somebody wanted to take a class with you?
I teach three different places. I teach at Patel Conservatory in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
It is connected to the Straz. It's downtown Tampa. I teach on camera there. And I teach privately. And I teach in St. Petersburg at Andy Matheny Acting Studios, which is so much fun.
Where is that?
Andy Matheny has her studio on First Avenue South and the corner of First Avenue South and 22nd. 23rd Street. Yes.
Okay.
So First Avenue South and 23rd Street. It is it was one of those buildings that was painted with the murals. And so three sides of her what used to be white building is now quite colorful, kind of like your backdrop, which no one can see, but I can. It's colorful and big and wonderful, and I teach scene study there, her method of scene study. I teach there on Thursday nights. I love that so much. She has this great little building. And
how much is it to take a class if you wanted to?
I don't know. I never quote prices because I'm not the one who does that. So I always tell people to look on the website before I start quoting.
Okay.
Anything that might be wrong.
Understood. Yeah, I get it. I've always kind of wanted to take an acting class.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah, just to see if I'd be any good at it. I think it would be fun. But I don't know if I'd be good at it or not.
So really, with acting, what happens if you have a beginning, middle, and end class, like you might have a class that's 10 weeks long or 12 weeks long or 8 weeks long or whatever, what normally happens is the first few weeks you're doing improv.
Right. Right.
And you're learning certain points of communication. So what we want to do is basically thread your personality into the role that you're doing.
Right.
And so when people get in front of a group and they let's say I give them, you know, I might give them something, the first thing that someone wants to do is perform. Well, if your intention is to go on camera and work on camera, you know, doing film or television or something like that, really that's not where you want to be. You don't want to perform like you would on stage.
Right, right.
Less
right.
is more. So those acting games, I guess you would say, acting games and improv games and whatnot are very, very important to break. I don't mean that in a negative sense, but in a inspired sense.
Sure.
To show you a different way of looking at things.
Gotcha. So,
yeah.
You didn't start in acting, though, did you? You started it with modeling.
I did. Actually, I started in corporate finance, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. So wait, how did... Okay, that's
that
interesting.
Weird?
Yeah, how did that happen where you changed that much from...
Hey, corporate finance is now an actor. So I graduated from college in corporate finance and went back to New Orleans to, of course, try to get a job. And I started working in office leasing and, leasing office space. And I ended up getting very sick, and I took a year off, and at that point, I lost all this weight. Now, if you see those people who are listening, I don't know if you know what I look like, but I'm 6'1", I'm pretty thin, just, little fact there. And so when you get thinner than thin, it's, it's pretty thin. So I was spotted on the street in New Orleans and asked if I could go up to New York. You should be in New York. You should be modeling. And I was wearing a wig there because I had lost all my hair from chemotherapy and blah, blah, blah. And I looked at the person and I thought, what? No. Well, sure enough, I said, well, why not? I mean, really?
Yeah.
I have a second chance at life. Why
sure.
not? So literally the month after my last round of chemo, I had booked a ticket. Not even a month after my last chemotherapy session, I went up the month before my last one just to test the waters, ended up getting with an agency. I got an agency to represent me. I started working. Now, the odd thing is, okay, so I'm tall. I've got high cheekbones. I'm thin. I was wearing a wig then. I'm walking the street of New York.
How long ago was this?
New York. This was... 100 years ago. This was
100 years ago.
Yeah, this was way before you were born.
1916.
Right.
The year
1916.
Yes. I'm familiar.
Right. See, they had planes then. So, anyway. And so the agency that this appointment was set up for me. I walked into the agency and found out later from my friend who set up this appointment that the agency who ended up signing me, this teeny agency, called my friend and said, is she a man or a woman? And I thought, at first I went, what? And then I went, wait.
Yeah, you could use this to your advantage.
I can use this.
Sure,
and
sure.
Literally, that has been used to my advantage
How
since
so?
Then. Well, because a lot of the roles that I've played have been quite androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
And in the casting breakdown, it's either, well, we're looking for a transvestite. We're looking for a dominatrix. And this is for normal television. I mean, and so I'm submitted and I book these jobs. So, yeah.
Hey, it works to your advantage.
Hey,
right
if it
on.
Works, it works.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So you went from, who was the person that said, hey, you should go to New York? Was it somebody who was worth a damn or just a stranger? And you were just like, I'm going to go and...
Stranger. I was so naive. I should.
They were just like, you should go. Like, and you were like, yes, I should.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I should.
Sounds good.
I don't know anybody. I said, and I remember this conversation. I said, I don't know anybody. Do you know I'm wearing a wig? And the guy goes, I didn't know that, but That doesn't matter. You should be up to New York. Well, I don't know anybody. And I was kind of tossing him off because I thought, but I was trying to be nice at the same time and be polite. But,
right, right.
And he said, no, I've got contacts up there. I work in that business. I thought, oh, do I take him at his word? He is from New York. So, yeah, he ended up, owning up to his word and made appointments. And it could have not gone in my favor, but it did.
Hey, you got to take a chance in
took
this
a chance.
Life, you know?
I mean, my goodness gracious, I'd been through this, craziness medically. And then I thought, well, what the hell? Get on a plane. And so literally within a month after my last chemo, bam, up in New York. I was living in New York.
So the guy came through for you, though. He wasn't pulling your chain or anything?
Yes, he wasn't pulling my chain. And within 6 months, I was walking the runway in Paris.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like winning a lottery type of story.
You know?
That's one in a million.
Right. I mean, monetarily, it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it sure was, it was great. It was great for my self-esteem. It was great for, it's a great adventure. I mean, I can right now look back and go, hey, yeah, this is what I did. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that's so weird that happened. I know it happens all the time to people. But that's great. I mean, that's awesome. And it's finally paying off now, too. You got your Tigress.
I'm Tigress.
In Hunger Games.
Hey. Yeah.
And you're
going to
be victim one on NCIS.
I cannot say that.
Well,
I will
be character on NCIS.
I am going to be a character on NCIS New Orleans.
New Orleans. How many are there now?
Are there four?
I don't know.
Four? I don't know.
I don't
There's
watch
NCIS
television.
Los Angeles. I rarely watch television myself, but... NCIS, but you have to watch when Mockingjay comes on. It's not going to be on television, but when you can.
All the other ones are on Amazon, so I'm assuming that one will be on there. I can't wait to watch it. Eugenie, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate
you.
Oh, give out your social media so people can find
you. Oh, yeah. You need to follow me on Twitter at Euge, E-U-G, Bondurant, Bondurant. That's my Twitter handle.
Very good.
And Instagram, same thing. Lowercase, Euge, E-U-G, Bondurant, Bondurant. And on Facebook, I have an actor's page, which is fun and wonderful. And that's my full name, comma, actor.
Very nice.
Yeah,
Eugenie,
cool.
Thank you very much. You're going to change your Twitter to Victim One after the NCIS.
Hey.
But we'll see. All right, Eugenie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that was Eugenie Bondurant, Tigress, from The Hunger Games Part 2. Thank you very much for coming in again, Eugenie. Best friends, me and Tigress. I always dreamed that me and her would be friends one day, and now we're best friends, so it all worked out for me. Thank you, everyone. Well, this first episode of the new year, I'm glad to be back and providing weekly content for you. On HMBRadio.com and for RadioSaintPete.com. They're all available in the archive section. They're all available on HMB Radio, Spreaker, Audio Boom. There's so many ways to listen, so I hope you do that. Join us this Tuesday for the stand-up comedy open mic every second and fourth Tuesday. It's free to watch, free to perform. There's free pizza. There's cash prizes. Why wouldn't you go? It's a nice way to spend a Tuesday evening. Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg. Hosting Localtopia this year. Me. It's weird. I hope I don't screw up. I'm going to screw up. I know, but I think that's part of my charm is being a bumbling ass. And it gives some, there's some endearment there, I think. So anyways, I will talk to you all next week. Go like the Facebook pages, the Twitters, home_made_man on Twitter, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Talk to you all next week. See ya.